this day, Lord, allowing us to be in your house once again, Lord. Lord, we just honor our veterans today, Lord, and just thank you, every one of them, Lord, for doing a job well done, standing up for what's right, Lord. And Lord, let us always remember those that lost their lives and didn't come back, Lord. Just be with the families of lost loved ones and help them to know it wasn't in vain, Lord. And Lord, just help us to serve in your army now, Lord, the rest of our journey's done, Lord. And just be with us from day to day. And let's give you all the praise, honor, and glory for everything in our lives. In the precious name we pray. Amen.
This morning you have the Word of God with you. You would look with me at Acts chapter 7 and find verse 54. Acts chapter 7, 54 through 60. I asked Brother Ray Evans to pray for us this morning, most especially, because he represents the living as well as the dead. He himself being a veteran here today, but his son who served this country is deceased. And today he was able to stand before you and pray representing both on this Memorial Day weekend. So we thank God this morning for the efforts and for your attendance this morning. And may we surround ourselves this morning with the Word of God. The title of our message today is God, Guts, and Glory. I think that every serviceman has certainly displayed God, guts, and glory. And this morning, I want to share with you a message that I believe God would have us to hear this morning in this very solemn, but a time to celebrate as well. Because the last time I checked, all those who gave for a very important reason. And today we display that in our freedom to be able to stand on American soil and worship God freely. Amen? Thank God today for what He has been able to do through man and what man has been able to do through God. This morning, look with me at the Word of God, Acts chapter 7. You found your place. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on Him with their teeth. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Him with one accord. In verse 58, and cast Him out of the city and stoned Him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May we pray once more. God, this morning we are at your mercy. God, I pray this morning that you would use this vessel of clay for thy glory. Lord, may you move this morning. God, by your Holy Spirit, God, may our hearts be convicted and corrected. And God, this morning, may we also be able to celebrate, as we have already in this service, about your goodness and your mercy. Lord, have thine own way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to share with you this story. I want to introduce a man named Stephen to you. Stephen was a great man of God, a soldier to say the least. He was a man of good report, of great respectability, a hard worker, diligent about his task in life. He was admired by the public, by his brethren, recommended highly because of what he had done in his life. People admired him. They looked up to him. And in this passage of Scripture, we find where the council men, and I'll be more elaborate in just a moment, are standing before Him gnashing their teeth, the Bible says, and they are mad and upset, angry with Stephen and what he has to say. And you find in chapter 7, and I won't read it, but I will challenge you to, but to read chapter 7, maybe when you get home today. But it is a very lengthy speech. It is the longest speech in the book of Acts. That Stephen stands before these angry people who were in total disagreement with him. And he delivers a wonderful, elaborate speech about how Israel has time after time after time has rejected what God's plan was for them. And he shares this long speech, but do you realize that not only is this speech long, but it is considered in God's early church perhaps the turning point of the church, of what we're able to come today in freedom and worship God, was because of soldiers like Stephen, who stood not based upon someone else's foundation, but based upon the foundation that the Lord Jesus Christ had established. It is easy to serve God and to move forward in popularity, but it is most difficult at times to be the minority and to stand and do what is right for God. And Stephen displayed that here. And he stands here and he gives this wonderful speech, lengthy, but also a turning point in the early church. But who is Stephen? What was his position? Was he a decorated soldier? What was his rank? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly. If you will turn the page back to chapter 6 of Acts, and you will look with me to give you a summarization in the first two verses of chapter 6, what has happened is this. God has formed His preachers, and Peter is now explaining because he's been approached by the Grecians. The Grecians have come complaining, saying, y'all are, you're neglecting our widows. Your daily ministry. And the preachers understood and realized by the conviction of God that they could not continue on the path they were taking. The church was growing. It was multiplying. But they had to have deacons. They had to have deacons to take care of the table matters. Without the deacons, the preachers had to do all the table matters and preach and pray and take care of the flock. So what happened here is their approach with complaining people. But I love how God's people should conduct themselves always being approached in adversity. Peter didn't fuss with the Grecians, or the Bible doesn't record it. And this is a man who always opened his mouth before he thought. But what he said was, it's not a matter that there be a problem. The matter is here, how can we fix it? And that should be our approach in every case. Not who's right, not who's wrong, not the problem, but what can we do to overcome this? And that's exactly what Peter does here. So what happens is they have to appoint some deacons. So the very first deacon board ever established in the early church is now, look with me in verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, this is Peter's command to the people. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, the deaconship. Look at verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. That's what Peter is saying, that they would continually give themselves to these being the main facets of their ministry, to pray and to preach. But in verse 5, let me introduce to you Stephen. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Could you imagine that? That had to be a Free Will Baptist church for everybody to be happy. You know that? Amen. The whole multitude was pleased. That don't happen a lot, does it? But it does here. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? All right, look with me at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. I'm going to stop right there with his name, but let me give you the details about Stephen. Look on Look at a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to stop right there. Now, the other six are recorded, but if I give you them, it's going to take away from Stephen's name. So remember Stephen this morning, because I'm going to give you something that's going to close out with Stephen in a minute that's going to be a bit of a memorial about Stephen that you will be able to remember him forever and always by. Now, Stephen now has been enlisted in the army of God. He's enlisted. Uncle Sam drafted him. You know, the thing was, when I was growing up, I know they wouldn't want me now because I'm 32 going on 33. I'm old. A lot of your young military are young men, and they're in good shape. So that leaves me out. But I was growing up, and I was scared to death just because, no real reason, because I didn't live in the era where the draft was heavy. But I was always fearful. I said, you know what, I don't know, as a young boy, I said, I don't know about getting drafted and going and doing something that I didn't choose to do. I like to choose my stuff. I don't like stuff to choose me. But I always live with this here. I said, because I'm flat-footed, because I am as flat-footed as flat-foot. If anything, my arch does this in the middle. It don't even do this. It's flat. It is. Because I figure, okay, there's my scapegoat. I'm flat-footed. I will never get drafted. They'll take one look at me and say, you're damaged goods, buddy, you know? So I figured I'd get out of that, which I don't think that really matters anymore. They give you some arch and they keep on going. But nevertheless, I was fearful of that. But I see here where Stephen has really been drafted. It does go to show that deacons should be asked to be deacons, not deacons asked to be deacons. You see that? It makes a difference when God's anointing is on you and it calls you, you don't call it. You can never put yourself in a position to just do God's work because there's a need. If He needs for you to feel the need, He'll let you know. It's not just because you need to put a warm body or fill the gap. I'm so glad to know that today that the United States of America have trained and ready and willing soldiers to defend our freedom even today. And it's not just warm bodies filling the gap. Amen? And here you see the same thing. But the people chose them. And Stephen, being a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, goes to show that he had a good report among the people, or he would not have been selected. It's always good to be aware that even when you feel like you're not being noticed or what you're doing is not making a difference. I bet Stephen felt like that days in his life, until he was selected because of what he had done all those years and days leading up to that occasion. It meant something to him on that day when it come full circle. But here, he's been enlisted. Can I show you his first battle? Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He's doing a work. He is carrying out his responsibility, a soldier of the cross. He is going forth and doing his duty. And what always happens when you try to do what is right, there are always enemies. Let me show them to you in verse 9. Then, the Bible says, there arose certain of the synagogue. These are the people that I'm elaborating on now, his enemies, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians and them of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. There's his first fight. Then, look at verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. The ammunition, the artillery that he walked and lived in was much more powerful than anything these people of the synagogue had to offer him across the battlefield. And they could not resist what it is he had to fight with. And they began to fall. The enemy lines began to break down and crumble. And should I hear the chant of retreat, because they are outnumbered and outmatched. I can see the white flag being raised across the field even now, with Stephen, with the one in whom he stood as a soldier, being trained and being skilled, full of what? Faith and the Holy Ghost, was able to stand there in the power of not the flesh, but of the Spirit, and stand against the enemies. And their lines broke and crumbled, and they retreated. I could only imagine. I've never served one day, one ounce of anything in the military. But boy, I'm going to tell you what, you've got my heart. I mean, the sacrifice. I mean, men and women, they leave their families. The safety of their homes. And they go to land that's foreign. And whether they go to foreign land, you may be here in operations that makes it possible for them people to go. It all works together. If you don't think it works together, look at our nation. If you don't think that 18-wheelers don't have a lot to do with putting groceries in the grocery store and onto your house, you take a good look around. Everything seems to be linked in this life, and we've seen more of that during this recession than we've ever realized before. It all works together. You can't separate one from the other. Whether you like it or not, we're in this thing together. And separating yourself will only alienate you from the love of God. But I see here where you people have given. And do you understand, servicemen, that that is the same sacrificial love that Christ gave on the cross? Anytime you think about others than yourself, you have displayed the love of God. And these service people will tell you, you don't have to put a uniform on to display that kind of love. That I not only stand here with the flag of the United States of America, but I stand here with the flag, the Christian flag that represents my Lord and Savior. But just like any tough enemy, they go back for reinforcements, regroup, and come back again with another surge in hopes to overcome their enemy, which is Stephen. And what happens here in verse 11? Will you look with me? We're still in chapter 6 of the book of Acts. Then they, the enemy, after retreating, suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, they said, and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. What they did was went back and they took and just stirred up the political ring. Do you know most wars are because of politics and religion anyhow? And there they go, using those very things to stir them up. It's almost like somebody walking in and saying, do you know what he said about your mama? Anytime in school we wanted somebody to fight somebody, all you had to do was go use those words. You've probably been there before, right? And just like when two people are fixing the fight, and this is certainly in a much, much simpler form, but all you had to do was just get real close to that shoulder, right? Touch me. Touch me. All you got to touch me. What'd you say about my mama? And that's exactly what happens. What people try to do is use the sensitive cords that people have in them and push those buttons in order to make that fight rise up in them and go to battle. And the same thing is happening here. I've heard him speak blasphemous, the people said. The people of the synagogue go to the council. These people of great power. And they go there and they say, he's talking bad about Moses. Because, you know, Moses and the law, everybody seemed to worship Moses. And that's what God never wanted to happen. I believe that's why they could never find his body. Because God knew they would take his body, make a memorial out of it, and worship him. That's why they could never find Moses' body. That's all they would have needed there. They wouldn't even believed in God. And it just goes to show you can't put your trust in man. You've got to put it in the Father above. But here's the thing. Here he is. There he is. Let's go get him. That's what he said. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about God. Let's go get him. So they go. They start mounting up a force. They're going toward him. And then we find ourselves where he is approached. Does Stephen back down? Oh, no. That's where Acts chapter 7 starts. That's where I've challenged you to read all the way up to verse 54. The angry mob approaches him. I love an underdog. You hear me? I love an underdog. Don't you love the little man? I love the people look at and say, man, they ain't got no money. Man, they ain't got no chance. Just look at them people. Oh, I love that. Because I can tell you something, brother and sister, right now. When you stand and you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you stand with the richest God, the only living true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are richer than you even realize. Yeah, we're the underdog. We're the minority. But I like our odds. Amen? And that's what Stephen stands. Stephen stands across the way from these angry people, these councilmen, these people of the synagogue, these scribes, these elders. And they're standing there and, oh, they're upset. Can I tell you what happens when they get mad? They crucify people to the cross. They just got done putting Jesus there. Don't think they won't do it to Stephen. We know what they're capable of. Stephen knows what they're capable of. But he stands fearless. As our brave servicemen and women stand and have stood and have bled and died for our liberty. We should never take that for granted. We can't see what they saw. We don't know what it was like to be standing in foxholes and being staying there day after day after day when it seemed like there was no hope and all that flashed before them was their families, their beautiful wives, their children. And they're standing over on foreign ground defending what is at home because they believed in something. Stephen believed in something. And the only thing they could do from him was take his life. That's all they can do is kill me. That was his theory on that day. All they can do is take the breath out of my lungs. But what will that do? That will only set me free to stand in the presence of the one who saved me. How bad is that? Does it really get that bad? You know what? This is the bad part for the Christian. The good part is when you breathe out your last breath in this life and the next one you take in is in the presence of Shekinah glory. And Stephen was prepared at all costs to stand up for what he believed in. Stephen stands there now. I want to share with you three things you may lose, and I'm going to give these to you real quick. There are things you may lose in this life, but there are three things a Christian or any soldier can never lose. Those three things are power, purpose, and the plan. Hear me, church. There are three things you cannot lose. You may lose your family. You may lose your health. You may even lose your life. But there are three things you can never lose. And it's the power that sets you apart from this world. It is the purpose that you serve God with all that you've got. And that the plan is that you're going to live a life that sets standards for your peers and people who follow you to live by. You can never lose those three things. Even if you're standing in front of this angry mob or councilmen who are standing there threatening your life, and maybe even your buddies telling you maybe you need to quieten down a little bit. Maybe you need to be quiet. Maybe you don't understand. Maybe you weren't here that day on Golgotha. Maybe you weren't here when John the Baptist was beheaded because he was the forerunner setting the stage for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you weren't here, but let me tell you something. Maybe you need to take a back seat. Maybe you need to be quiet. Maybe you need to think about your wife if he had one. Maybe you need to think about little Stephen Jr. if he had one. Maybe you need to take a minute and think about what it is you're doing. And Stephen, without any hesitation, said, "Give me liberty or give me death. Give me Jesus. Give me the Son of God, the bright and morning star, or give me death." I don't have to hesitate. I don't have to think twice about who it is I live for and who it is I try to follow His standards. Without any hesitation, when something blindsides me on Monday morning or on Thursday night, it does not matter. I know that I am a child of the King and He will always live and die for me. So don't tell me it come upon me too fast. God has said, "Oh no, friend, I never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with you always, even until the end," He said. It don't matter what's coming or whether you can see it or not. Truth is, it's good you don't know what's coming because you'd worry yourself and you'd die before it got here. So let it be, let it be. Your power comes from... Can you go back to chapter 6 with me and let me hopefully teach you something this morning from the Word of God? Acts 6 and look at verse 3. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you the 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." Now go down to verse 5. "And saying, please the whole multitude that they chose Stephen." The credentials, what they're looking for is a man of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost of God. And that's our power. You can never lose that. See, let me show you what Israel's done real quick. Write it down, take a picture. They are killing the Trinity of God. Watch this. What is the Trinity? Who is the triune living God? It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Watch this very important key theological point. When John the Baptist came as the forerunner who paved the way, who prepared, was supposed to be preparing the hearts of the people. Very important, right? He came to prepare the hearts. He was sent by God the Father to prepare the hearts before His Son came. They killed Him. They killed who was representing God the Father. Then came the Son. He came, and you know what happened to Him, church, don't you? Or hopefully you hadn't forgotten. They killed Him. And can I make one quick correction there? They didn't kill Him. He laid down His life, but they're the reason He died. Because nobody could kill my God. He laid His life down for His friends. What greater love is there than that? Hey, God the Father has been destroyed by Israel. God the Son has been destroyed because of Israel. And guess who's full of the Holy Spirit of God? Who is trying to convict and compel these people? They're trying to do it through Stephen. He completes the Trinity of God. And when you go to Matthew 7 and you look at verse 31 and verse 32, you will find you may commit blasphemy and you may renounce what God or the Son has done for you, but when you commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God, you have committed an unpardonable sin and there is no forgiveness in this life or in the next, the Bible says. And that is what Israel is doing right now. They're completing the rejection of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son. The Trinity of God, in which we believe in which we live our lives by. And now he stands in front of them and they have a decision to make. But the Bible says, and I read the passage to you a while ago, they start picking stones up for Stephen. And you know what set them off? You want to really know what set them off? Is when in Acts chapter 7, and you're reading between 54 and 60 again, is when they gnashed their teeth upon him. The Bible says he looked up toward heaven steadfast. He was no fool. He knew where his power came from. He looked up in glory. He didn't just see a blue sky that day. He didn't just see a pretty arrangement of clouds on that day. But he's trying to teach us a very valuable lesson in life. It's when you hear the angry mob of life wailing against you and you have nowhere else to turn. The Father says, look up. And it says that he, to himself in verse 55, he looked up and saw where the heavens had opened. And Jesus Christ was standing at the right hand of God. The only time in Scripture that Jesus is standing at the right hand of God. Never recorded anywhere else in this Scripture that Jesus stands. He is always sitting because He has, in Hebrews, finished a good work and has sat down. Now listen, there are different perspectives on why Jesus is standing, but I'm going to give you mine this morning because I have the liberty and the freedom to do that. Amen? So let it roll. Jesus is standing there, ready to receive his soldier. Is it just me, church? Or have you felt God in this place since you got here this morning? You didn't just come here today because we were having a special service now, did you? I trust you came this morning because maybe for the first time or maybe in a long time you want to see the Son of God. Power, purpose, plan. They stoned him. They killed him. Jesus is standing in heaven beside the Father. I'd much rather be shot. I've never been shot. Don't want to be shot. Never had a rock hit me enough to injure me. But I believe I would rather have a bullet to the head than for somebody to start throwing rocks at me and die a slow, agonizing death. That's got to be bad. Shoot me and get it over with. But the purpose in the stoning was to make people regret what it is they were living for before they drew their last breath. A swift death wouldn't give them time to think. And that was the purpose intended, to make you regret you ever lived or ever stood for such a thing. But friend, may God help us that we never live a day again on this life that we ever regret or try to relive how it would have been without Jesus in our lives. Stand proud. Stand in the freedom and the liberty that God has given us. Follow through with the power that empowers you, with the purpose that God has called you, and finish the plan. Why is it important to finish the plan? Can I tell you why? And I'm almost out of time, and I owe a brother. Here we go. Saul is standing there, this young man. You know this is the Apostle Paul. He is witnessing Stephen being stoned to death. Don't tell me that didn't have any implications on his salvation that was coming on the Damascus Road. Saul is standing there, this young man, but can I tell you this morning, church, who wrote the book of Timothy? Paul. Yeah, that's right. Not young Saul, but Mr. Man, saved by grace, Paul. Did Stephen make a mark? Did he even leave a legacy? Did he make a difference in his short-lived life? Oh, yes, he did. The Bible tells us that Paul, the one who was having clothes thrown down at his feet during the stoning of Stephen, because Saul, which is Paul, the biggest prosecutor of the Christian church, became the biggest promoter of the Christian church. Because one day he walked down a road and he come in contact with the only one who could change his life. And it was Jesus Christ. And can I submit to you this morning that He's the only thing that can change the circumstances in your life? He's never changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We change. America changes. But our God who sits upon His throne, who has earth as a footstool, has never changed and never will change. But what happens in the plan that we are encouraged this morning to never forsake? You're going to like this. I like this. This is good. God's good. 1 Timothy chapter 3. You ain't got to turn there. You can if you want to. Write it down. Don't you ever forget it. Paul is telling young Timothy, a young man. Who was young? Stephen. Verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. Who had a good report in Acts chapter 7? In Acts chapter 6? Stephen. Look with me. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, what he has just done, so you know. Paul is telling Timothy that bishops, men of the cloth, preachers, people just like me have to live by these guidelines in chapter 3 from verse 1 to 7. But in verse 7, he rolls it and says, likewise, the deacons, who was ordained on the first committee of deacons' church? We're not leaving no time soon. Because if I stand up here and preach and take all my time during the week and you don't know nothing when you leave this place, what am I standing up here for? Because I make all the money? Oh, Lord, no. Listen, if I leave here and you is just as less knowledgeable as you better believe I was tempted to say something else. Amen. Hey, you better leave here with some knowledge, people. Now that I got your attention, listen to this part. Likewise, in verse 8, he rolls the twist. Look what Paul is doing. This is young Saul. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to too much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Stephen proved himself. Hey, he didn't say it. He lived it. Talk is cheap. Let's stop talking, get to walking. Amen. Holding the mystery of the faith. What did Stephen hold that day when the rocks were coming? He was holding on to the mystery of God. It was certainly a mystery to the people who were throwing the rocks, because if they knew the truth, they'd put them down and join him. And let these, in verse 10, also be first proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Verse 13, don't let me lose you here. For they that have used the office of a deacon. You can't tell me he was not penning this. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. Man might have penned the Bible, but God told him what to write. And I don't want to hear no joke about men wrote the Bible. It was their own opinion. God used their personalities led of the Holy Spirit of God, and that's why we have these basic instructions before leaving earth. That's the B-I-B-L-E, Bible. Amen? Boy, I spit when I did that, didn't I, Brother Todd? Hey! He can't even talk. He's wiping it off his lips. He knew if he opened his mouth, it would go in. Watch this. Verse 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree, and watch this, a great boldness in the faith in which is in Christ Jesus. You tell me Stephen didn't stand blameless and boldly on the streets that day. And you can't tell me the Holy Spirit of God wasn't on his job, and part of his job is to bring to us the remembrance of the Word of God and those acts of God. Don't tell me when the Holy Spirit wasn't inspiring Paul to write this to young Timothy, this epistle in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about the office of a bishop and a deacon, that Stephen was not on his mind because he carried forth the power, the purpose, and the plan of God in his life. And it makes a difference. And I got too many examples and proofs for you to stand and defy what God has done. And remind you, friend, you can stand and defy without ever opening your mouth. Remember, actions speak louder than words. Boy, I ate some good barbecue last night. I ain't telling how long I'll preach. Amen. Amen. Even my brother that was sitting beside me, when he got up to get something, I ate some of his too. Anyhow, confession is good for the soul. I trust this morning if you got something to confess, you'll be man or woman before you leave here today to confess it. Amen? Amen. God, guts, and glory. And this is where we close. Finally, brethren, since I'm talking about Paul, a memorial for Stephen. How will you remember Stephen beyond this day, beyond 30 minutes after you leave this place? Let me give you a memorial. What are memorials about? We honor today the memorial, the lives of those who were given for this country. Can I give you the memorial of the hand? Watch the hand. Ready? Hey man, watch this hand. Because a memorial of Stephen, if one could be given, it would be a set of hands. Now this is where we're going to close. Ready? In Acts chapter 6 and verse 6, what did they do? They took the deacons. Watch this. Prayed over them. You see the symbol? And then laid hands on them, ordaining them into the ministry, enlisting them in God's army. A very high rank, lieutenant colonel. If the preacher is the general, and Jesus Christ is the secretary of defense, and that makes me the general, and that makes God's deacon a lieutenant colonel. But I don't think Stephen ever ripped off his infantry badge. He still stood on the front lines. He didn't sit behind a desk or a Bible. He didn't forget where he come from. Hands is what prayed. Stephen comes onto the scene in Acts chapter 6 by these being put together. You know how he exits in Acts chapter 7 in the very last verse? He kneels down as the rocks are coming. And the Bible says, screams out with a loud voice unto Jesus who is standing at the right hand of God and asks that these sins not be held to these people's charge. He come in by a symbol of hands, and he left with a symbol of hands. He went into the ministry by prayer. He left the ministry through prayer. You tell me it's not significant. Let's don't stop there. The Bible says as he was sharing with these people that they stopped their ears from what they were hearing. How you do that? And screaming with a loud voice because they did not want to hear. You know why they didn't want to hear? Because when you go right back to Acts chapter 6 and you look at verse 8, when he's standing there doing great wonders and works for God, and you go to verse 9, these people could not resist what it is he was telling them. These people could not resist. They didn't want to hear it because it was supposedly blasphemous against Moses and God. But I'm telling you, it don't matter where people stand. It don't matter if they're agnostic, if they live in an atheist world. I'm telling you, there's a power that's greater than any evil in this life. And these people were evil. And something began to change and tweak in their heart. And they did not want to change. They took their hands and they stopped their ears. And they picked up those rocks and they stoned Stephen. It started in prayer. It began when they closed their ears with their hands. It kept on going when they picked up the rocks with their hands and threw them at Stephen to kill him. And he knelt down in verse 60 and closed out chapter 7 on his knees, praying before God. God, I come in this way. May I leave this way. And if you're ever going to begin a work for God, it will be with your hands put together in prayer. If you're ever going to complete a work for God, it will be because you kept them folded together in prayer till you take your last breath. And in between, the hands of others will not influence or impair or impact who it is I live for. You may stop your ears at what I've got to say. You may throw rocks at me because of where I stand. But I will always keep my hands in prayer to God. And I may lose my life. Hear me. But may God help us, you never lose the power or the purpose. Or the plan. You think his plan worked? Did he set standards? You go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and you read the office of a deacon when you get home and tell me it doesn't talk about what happened in Acts chapter 6 and 7 about Stephen. He set a standard because he decided to set himself apart and serve God with all he was. That brings us to this point. I don't care who you are, where you are, what you're doing or what you're not doing. It is inevitable. You will be remembered by something. And a memorial will be etched forever in those people's hearts that you have come in contact with. And they will remember you by something. If you do not like what it is they will remember you by, can I tell you this morning, you can start it and you can end it just like this. And what better place and what better time like the present to be remembered by others because you decided on this day that you would either start or continue living a life that exemplifies the power, the purpose, and the plan of God Almighty. Will you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have an invitation this morning, but before we do, may we pray? Christians, I expect for you this morning as soldiers of God to be praying with me this morning. Don't listen to me pray. But pray what God has put on your heart this morning for this service and His will to be done. Father, would you have thine own way now? God, thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for Stephen. God, what a memorial it is to be able to remember this soldier of the cross and how the hands are so important. God, I thank you this morning for your many blessings. And God, just before we sing, there's one thing you've laid on my heart I've got to share with these people. Can I get your attention for a minute? There's something I didn't complete, and I'm going to tell you right now, and we're going to sing. I never finished telling you what I thought Jesus was doing when he was standing there looking over Stephen's dying body. Yes, he was about to receive him, but let me tell you something. There's something about America that should be instilled in every one of us because we have that blood that runs through our veins. It's called respect. And whether you've ever served or you have not served, you should have respect for those uniforms. But I'm going to tell you, our God is no different because He created us in the image of Himself. I will believe and will forever believe. And Jesus, I have to change my mind when I get to glory. I just have to believe with all my heart that when Stephen was being stoned, and only this is the first Christian martyr, this is the first Christian that's died for the cause, he's standing there doing this. From the courts of heaven,